Okay, yeah, it is recording. I'm great at tech. Woohoo, yeah. I just like recorded this whole long thing, but I didn't have my microphone like out of the box and plugged in or anything. So yeah. Okay, anyway, hi. This is Caroline. I'm the host of the Fuck a Diet Radio, and this is episode 5. And today I am interviewing Maddie Moon. There's a siren. Can you hear it? Am I just being overly paranoid now that nothing is going right? I'm interviewing Maddie Moon, whose bio I didn't pull up. Hold on. And we're back. Okay, got it. All right. Madeline Moon, spent many years of her life training for fitness competitions and modeling photo shoots. What is wrong with me? Okay, modeling photo shoots, only to come to the conclusion that obsessing over food and her body was taking her further away from her passion, not closer. Yes, she's so smart. Today, life coach Maddie Moon, I didn't know she was a life coach, just goes to show you how well I do my research before I talk to people, teaches other women and men how to take control of their relationship with food while enjoying every minute of their newfound freedom. Maddie is the host of a top-ranked podcast, Mind Body Musings Podcast. Yes, I've been on it before. She's a wonderful interviewer. And she provides free insight on her website, including her book, 10 Proven Steps for Ending Any Diet Obsession. Her work and story has been featured in the Huffington Post, Mind Body Green, Daily Mail, Paleo Magazine, Vice, Ravishly, and Adios Barbie. She graduated from the University of Texas in Austin and the Institute for Integrative Nutrition and currently resides in Colorado, the coolest place in the world. I added that, coaching clients online. That's a great bio. I should probably rewrite my bio. My bio says something like, Caroline Dooner is an anti-diet writer and a performer and a songwriter and a plant owner and newly an energy worker. So if you already didn't like her, you can find more reasons to think that what she does is bullshit. She wants women to take up space and start getting their voice. I don't know why I'm sounding so sarcastic. I really feel this way, but I'm trying to remember my bio right now. She wants women to take up space and get their voices heard and take up space. She lives in New York with her plants that she hasn't killed. And she's moving to Philadelphia in June or May, depending on a couple things that haven't been worked out yet. And she intends to stay inside all the time and maybe get a dog one day, but not yet because it's too much work. That's my bio. I'm punchy. I'm leaving on a plane. Oh man. Okay. Sorry guys. I'm leaving on a plane in 5 hours, which means I have to leave here in 2 hours just to give myself way too much time in the airport, but that's what I like to do. And I'm pushing this really, really close. Oh, I just got really nervous that I'm recording over. Okay, no, I'm not. Oh, man. Guys, I think this is a lesson for us all, okay? I'm not grounded. I'm scattered. I'm trying to do things with a headache. I think the moral of the story is don't do things with a headache. Just don't, you know? Just cut your losses and let it go. But you can also try to do things with a headache, and then when they go terribly wrong, just blame it on the headache, which is what I'm doing right now. All right, so I'm going on a plane in 5 hours to England to learn how to do, I wouldn't say that I'm learning kinesiology specifically, but I'm learning from a kinesiologist how to do muscle testing to figure out people's emotional blocks, which is pretty crazy and out there, but it is going to change everything. I'm super excited to work with people on this one-on-one and in my programs. It is out there, but it works so well. I've worked with this woman on my stuff post food. Like, I got over food on my own, which is what I've been teaching people to do for the past 4 years. But then beyond that, I was doing all this work on what's next. There's always something next. You know, food was just kind of like in the way of me actually dealing with my life. And I find that that's true for most people, for everyone, let's be honest, who is stuck with food. So I'm learning to, sirens, I'm learning to do what she does because she helped me so much and I want to help other people with the same stuff. Super vague, but you know, like if you're on my list on my website, I will email you about this and bother you. I'm planning on really doing this in group programs. Fucketeer Academy is something that I'm going to be launching in August, and in June, before then, I'm going to be launching Become Your Own Damn Guru, which I'm already doing right now, but I'm going to be relaunching it for a way shorter time span. It's going to be like an intensive, and it's going to be all about teaching you. I laughed because I burped because I'm drinking kombucha. I'm really losing it, guys, but you have to just stay with me, okay? Just don't get distracted like I am. Just focus, okay? Yes, Become Your Own Damn Guru is a intuition intensive where I'm going to teach you to listen to your intuition. After this, I don't know why you would trust me to teach you anything, but actually you should because I'm really good at teaching intuition. But it doesn't matter. It's all moot because you don't care about me. All right, this has to end. I am so excited to share my interview with Maddie Moon. I asked her at the end if she wanted to do a duet with me, and she got really freaked out. So I cut it out just because I thought that that might be kinder, but now I'm bringing it up, so I don't know how kind I really am. So I sing a different thing at the end, and everything's fine. And we can just take it as it comes. That's what I'm learning to do. I'm sitting here with my feet in a bucket of Epsom salts. I have a canker sore, my head hurts, and I'm leaving so soon and I haven't taken a shower or packed yet, okay? It's going really well. Everything's wonderful. Life is beautiful. You guys are wonderful, and you have now gotten a little bit more real me as opposed to radio announcer me that I've been trying to be. But you know, it's just going to strike a wonderful balance in between both of these. All right, here's time for the ukulele. How long ago did I do your podcast? It wasn't that long ago.
I want to say maybe like 3 months ago.
Yeah, it really wasn't. It was December, right?
Probably. Yeah, December. I think so.
Well, you were kind of like the final nail in the coffin for me resisting doing podcasts. Because I've wanted to for a while, but I was just really overwhelmed. I was like, I can't do that. Mm-hmm. I just can't. I can't. It's a burden I can't bear.
Mm-hmm. And like, I was like, you have to do this. And I don't think I've really ever felt like there was a person on my podcast that I so knew needed to have a show. But you were. I was like, you do all these amazing things. Like, I can see so much potential because you're a very unique individual with lots of different talents. And I think podcasts are just a great way to, one, connect with people, but two, be able to share those talents. So I'm glad you finally decided to do it.
Thank you. Well, it's been such a blast. And I like sneak in little songs at the end of every episode just because, like, why not? And it's been a really fun platform for me to put things together. So I'm enjoying it a lot.
That's
Why don't you, for the people who don't know you, I'm sure lots of listeners know you very well and are excited to get to hear from you. But for anyone who doesn't, why don't you give a little spiel on your past and how you got into the work that you're doing?
Okay. So is this like the long spiel or do you want the short spiel?
Why don't we do short spiel and then I trust that we'll get into details as we go. Does that sound
okay? That sounds good because that's good for me to know, or else I always go for the long.
Me too.
Yeah, it's bad. I remember watching this show that was about a girl who stopped eating when she was really stressed out and she fainted and all of her friends ran around her and was like, don't stop eating food. We love you. But to me as a young child, I was like, oh, one of my biggest role models on the Disney Channel stopped eating. Man. And if I feel stressed with life, I should stop. So I put that away in my brain, you know, bank for later. And then fast forward a little bit, I became vegetarian. I became vegan. I did all of this for ethical reasons, but of course weight started to come off my already thin body and people started to recognize it and call it out and love it and just like make me feel like I was just, you know, the shiznit because I was thinner in college. I mean, in high school. Right. And that's the time when I started to realize, oh, you get admiration whenever you're thinner. So I go into college. I go through this crazy party phase, which again was very disordered. I don't talk about it that often, but basically I ate very little. I ran, you know, 7 miles a day. I was still a vegetarian at the time and I partied really hard. So I was just really terrible to my body. Mm-hmm. I was in a sorority, just all over the place, not healthy at all, but still obsessed with thinness. And I came across this term skinny fat, right? And I was like, whoa, what's skinny fat? And apparently it's what runners have for their body type. So, oh no, I don't want that. Uh-oh, what do I do? So I enter the world of bodybuilding and I sign up for my first fitness competition. I eat like 6-7 different foods throughout the entire prep. I lose my period. I end up having to have sleeping aids when I go to sleep at night, digestive aids, you know, ruined relationships with friends and family. Also that I could have this super lean, not skinny fat body. And I was obsessed with it. I just had laser focus on this body that I wanted. And it led me to a very, very dark place. I had this body where all my Instagram followers said, I want that. How do you get that? Give that to me. Started diet coaching people, helping people lose weight. And it was all really a defense mechanism because I knew I was not happy. And I knew that I needed to convince myself that I was doing something worth it in this world. So I helped other people lose weight. And then fast forward now, I did two of those shows. Eventually I came to terms with the fact that my body, I am not here on this earth to eat clean. I am not on this earth to have a perfect body. And I was missing out on my youth. That really scared me when I realized that I was losing my youth and I was wasting it on wanting the perfect body when I was youthful. And I had, you know, I had a body. There you go. I had a body and that's all I needed. And I was so fortunate just to have that, to have a life. So I moved away. I got a dog. I started fresh. I disconnected with social media, with bad influences in my life. I really started to pray more, turn to God, and like really try to change my heart and stop obsessing over having this perfect body. A lot of things needed to leave, exit my life in order to do that. A lot of things needed to grow. I needed to make room for new things and new possibilities. So I did all of that. And then that's what led me to create my own podcast, write some books, and coach clients and create some programs. And that's where we are today.
So, so exciting that you took that leap. I mean, I remember, I forget whether it was us talking about it or whether I was listening to you maybe on the Food Psych podcast, but just hearing you say, I remember you saying like, not everybody has to do this. Like this was my own personal thing, but I moved to Colorado and I just knew that I needed to do that. I needed a fresh start in that way as well. And that's so, exciting to me just to hear when people do things like that, when they make big changes that are scary, you know, to other people. Oh, I think they're scary to other people because they're like, do I have to do that? And the answer is no. The answer is no. If you need to do that, you'll know, because I assume you had this like super strong intuitive sense that you needed to up and go.
Yeah, it was very obvious for me. And I do get nervous when I tell people that. Not nervous, but I am aware that people think that. And you always hear like, you can't run from your problems. They follow you. Well, sure. Right. But it also does help if that's not the right place for you. And that wasn't the right place for me, period.
Exactly.
Like, it doesn't even matter about my body image issues. That was just the, you know, the cherry on top of, you know, this huge sundae of misery. It was just the place that I was living in was not good for me. There were good times, but I associated, you know, that was my college town. And being there after college, it just wasn't serving me anymore. So when the opportunity came up for me to move to Boulder, I really didn't think about it. I have this very strong connection with what is good for me and what's right. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, not in terms of like body image, obviously, but making big life decisions have always been really easy for me. Like, I skipped my senior year of school and I ended up cramming in like 6 different credits in 1 month, just really hard because I knew this was right for me. And I ended up transferring colleges on just basically because one morning I woke up and I was like, not serving me anymore. Gotta go to this place.
Amazing.
And then when it came to moving to Boulder, it was the same kind of feeling where it was like, this is right. I'm just gonna do it. So I did it and I picked up and left like 48 hours after making that decision to do it.
I love that so much. Wait, so the other reason I love it is because I have such an affinity. I think we might have talked about this too, but I have such an affinity for Colorado, but I've never been. I've never been to Colorado.
Have to come.
I know. I totally will. I would love to visit and hang out. That would be so fun. What specifically brought you to Boulder, Colorado? Was it specific or like random, but you just knew it was right?
I had a job opportunity as just like admin. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like anything, you know, but I thought, I'm not really going to go into the specifics of it, but I thought this job, you know, has to do with like food and body image and, learning about the psychology of all that. And I thought it was going to really help me with my issues and what was going on in my life. But it didn't necessarily help me in that area, but it did get me here.
Right. So which
got me here.
Which was the thing. That was all it needed to do.
Exactly.
And it sounds like you have a really natural sense of intuition, which I'm all about and love talking about. So that's really exciting, Maddie. It's cool stuff.
Yeah. Thank you.
So I have some questions for you that I've only done one interview. You're my second interview.
Wow. But
my question is, how would you define intuitive eating?
Well, intuitive eating, I pretty much stick with the basic, you know, principles of it is eating what you're craving in that moment. The part that I don't really appreciate and I don't follow or don't ever have the standard for my clients is stopping whenever you're full. I think that's way too much pressure. Like even knowing when you're hungry is kind of hard, but knowing when you're full, and this is a problem that people face who have never even had eating issues.
Right.
So expecting people who have had eating issues to be able to know when they're full is ridiculous. And it's way too tough. And I understand it's a great goal. It's a great thing to keep in mind. And it's a great like North Star.
Right.
So whenever you are eating past the point of fullness, like chill, it's okay. We all do it. People that have never had a food problem do it. I do it still. We all eat past the point of fullness. Sometimes because we're not sure when we're full. Sometimes because we're still hungry in that moment. Because, you know, that lapse between whenever your stomach tells your brain it's full. It's like 20 minutes or something. And it could be because whatever you're eating has that addictive, like, flavor or taste or whatever. And it lights up the part of your brain. But that's cool, too. Like, sometimes you need that part of your brain to light up. And you need to eat a little bit more because we're human. And that happens. So whenever I teach intuitive eating, I like to combine it with mindful eating. I think that's so crucial. It's such an important part because, yes, you can eat what you're craving in that moment, and that's a huge win. But while you're eating it, you have to stay mindful and present in that moment because we live in a society full of distractions because when we eat, we want to scroll through Instagram. Whenever we're snacking, we want to watch a show at the same time. And then we're also texting at the same time. We're just constantly trying to search for intimacy when the food can provide us the intimacy that we want. But instead, we don't know how to be intimate with our food. We don't know how to like really appreciate it and think about where it was grown, where it came from, what it smells like, why it brings up sentimental memories for you. Instead of doing any of that quote work, we bypass it and we're like, we'll just create intimacy with this TV screen and feel like there are people around me while I eat instead of just focusing on the food. So being very mindful as you eat and thinking about those different aspects of the meal. That's a book. Actually, Mindful Eating is a book I highly recommend to anyone that is starting intuitive eating also. Mm-hmm. So you can learn to combine those early on.
Right. And I think some people, myself included, on top of also being overwhelmed by the idea of having to stop when I'm full, are also intimidated by the idea of having to focus so strongly on what you're eating, because it makes the stakes really high. It makes it like, oh, I have to focus on what I'm eating so I can really, really like do mm-hmm. what? Like, I think the goal for people, I think they stress that means that then they should be eating better, or they should be eating a better amount. And so for people who stress about that, I recommend, or I found, and I'm curious what you think, I found that even not paying attention to, and I think that paying attention to what you're eating is wonderful and healthy and probably the best way for your digestion, and it's good for being present, and it's good for a million things. Being present and like really paying attention to everything we're doing, I think is helpful. But when you're really stressed about perfect eating in the first place, I found myself that even not paying attention to what I was eating, even like allowing it to not be so precious, eventually allowed it to become so neutral that I just naturally stopped when I was done. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I don't think people who have read a lot about intuitive eating and are really concerned sort of with making intuitive eating and mindful eating into a diet. I think that sometimes that's a helpful way to go. And then like now, I would say now that food is so neutral, and now that me personally, now that I really don't have any like triggers with food, and I don't have any, it's not as charged. And my fear about doing it imperfectly isn't charged. I'm so much more able to and willing to pay attention to my food. Mm-hmm. It was kind of backwards actually from what you might think. And that's been my personal experience.
Can you remind me, I can't believe this is slipping my mind, but can you remind me what kind of like disordered eating or eating disorder did you have?
I had pretty intense orthorexia all along.
Okay. Yeah.
But I definitely went through phases of controlling amounts.
Mm-hmm. So we're like Twinkies. Yes.
Right. Exactly.
So what I was going to say is that I totally agree with what you're putting out there. And I'm glad you mentioned this. I think there, and I could be wrong, this is just my speculation, I think that for the mindful / intuitive aspect of eating suits people that come from a binge perspective a little bit better.
Yes. Yes.
Because
yes.
Like they eat the food so quickly, and it's like it is used for a different purpose than just the nourishment. It's like for, you know, numbing or emotions or escape. I think that intuitive eating and mindful eating is better suited for that person. On the other hand, people like you and me that have done the orthorexia side, when we focus on food too much, I agree. I do think that it is better to make food the last thing you're really concerned about. Because I know for me, whenever I was starting this journey, I tried to make food like as small a part of my day as possible. Right. I wanted it to be just like instinct. Like I'm busy focusing on creating this podcast. Cause I think that was 2 years ago when I started my podcast. So I'd be like, this is a fun new project. I'm going to throw all my attention, energy into it. Cause I'm excited. And I was so excited that I realized, oh, it's time to eat. So I would quickly go in the kitchen, make something that I'm kind of used to, but it's a little bit different when I started out. Right. Mm-hmm. I wanted to still eat I wanted it to be semi safe, but a little bit uncomfortable. So I'd make something a little bit different, maybe add some different spices or add more sugar to something, add more salt to something, more ingredients, because I used to be very anal about like mm-hmm. how many ingredients were on my plate. So throw in some more. And then I'd go back and I'd work. And sometimes I would work on my podcast while I ate so that it wasn't all about the food. So I think that's a really important thing for people to remember, is that if you're coming from that orthorexic, restrictive, limitation, obsessive side, then maybe it might serve you better if you're not focusing so much. But if you're on the other end and you're not really used to paying attention to the food on your plate, spend more time focusing on it.
I'm so glad you brought this up, because I should definitely elaborate on the fact that I was such a binger. I mean, I was like a child binger. And then once I started dieting, like binging, I believe that I had binge eating disorder, and now I don't, because I think it was all a response to restriction for the most part. So let me, just because we're talking about this, let me elaborate on what I did for my binging. And what I recommend people to do is exactly what you're saying, is for them to allow everything. Because I think that binging is a response to restriction, and emotional eating is a response to wanting to suppress emotions. But then if you're restricting on top of emotional eating, it becomes a binge too, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I recommend that people allow all food. And when they feel like they're going to binge, or when they feel really, really hungry, and it would have been a time that they would have binged in the past because they aren't allowed to eat, that you allow it all, but just slow down. And not for the purpose of eating less, because that's restriction, but for the purpose of actually allowing it. Like letting it be slow to teach yourself, hey, I don't have to rush through this thing. This is like not going away. Tomorrow I'm not going to be on a diet. I don't have to rush to eat all the cookies because I'm going to stop myself. I can actually just take my time to eat it, to prove to myself how very allowed it is. And that was mindful. Like that was me doing mindful eating, being like, hey, as opposed to just shoveling this all down because I'm not allowed it, how can I like actually enjoy it?
Mm-hmm.
And in there lies a paradox, because then at a certain point, I actually got full, and sometimes it was really full, and sometimes it was just normal full. And sometimes I ate like close to what I may have eaten otherwise, but it was sane. And I knew that I was allowed, and I knew that I hadn't done anything wrong. And I knew that my metabolism was healing, which is maybe why I was so hungry, or, you know, something else. But I think that that is my version of teaching mindful eating. And it's specific to binges, actually, and therefore bingers. So I think we are saying the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. But I love the way that you put that in your perspective. I think that's golden.
Well, thank you, Maddie. All right, I have more questions, but I can't. Okay, here it is. Oh, this might be a really long list. The next question is, what foods did you used to be scared of?
Oh my gosh. Can I just tell you the foods that I wasn't scared
yes,
of?
Yes, 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 yes.
Oh my gosh. I ate a lot of like, I just ate the most plain bodybuilder diet. I mean, if you were to look it up, everyone would find it. You know, brown rice, chicken, broccoli, green beans, protein powder, oatmeal, peanut butter, and egg whites.
Wow.
Those were the foods I could eat. And anything outside of that, I was scared of. So like fruit and...
Oh my God, I know.
Bell peppers, gum, like
cheese, bell peppers,
salads and salads. People always assume that since I was bodybuilding, like salads are healthy. You can eat them. But like I said, with the ingredients, I'm weird about that. So there's so many ingredients. I didn't know how many calories it was. How many calories are in the corn, the black beans, the bell peppers? Yeah. Like
I have ate corn for a while, corn and salads. I was like, that's so much sugar.
Yeah. And now today I'm like, corn is my jam. I love so much. But yeah, it was just crazy. And I think, you know, it was weird because I was scared of all foods not on my meal plan. But the minute my coach or trainer was like, you're allowed a quote cheat meal today, then all of a sudden my fear was gone because it was allowed and someone else gave me permission. And it was like, oh, it's okay. It's okay. I can eat it. So I would eat a greasy, disgusting burger that I didn't even want.
Right.
Because it was just so gross and to me at the time. But I would eat it without any fear because my trainer, I trust that man. I trust that guy.
Oh my God.
Looking back, I'm like.
So much power we give these other people.
Strangers.
So much power. It's freaky. It really is. It's like, no wonder cults are real. You know, no wonder people get brainwashed. Like, we do it so readily. We want to trust other people. And trusting other people, of course, is fine. But, like, trusting them with big, like, life things that should be our own natural, intuitive sense, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, what's my next question? Okay. If you... Oh, what? Okay, what is the lesson that you wish your readers would just absorb already? Like, what's the thing that you feel like you have to repeat over and over and over that's hard for people to really viscerally understand.
I think it's something that kind of breaks my heart. It hurts me now, thinking about my own self, thinking about all the people that reach out to me. And I think women in particular put themselves down a lot and think they're not capable of doing certain things. And then therefore they are not capable because mm-hmm. they set their minds up in advance.
Right.
So I think there's a lot to be said here just about being more positive and being more grateful and focusing on serving the world in a bigger way. People think that they can't do certain things, that they can't because they won't. Like they right. won't try. Say someone has an exercise addiction. They're the ones that puts their shoes on every single morning and every single night to go to the gym twice a day. But there is a choice there. There is a choice. And you can make the decision to lighten up that exercise load. Mm-hmm. Tiny baby steps. You don't have to do big jumps where you just quit cold turkey. But making that the time shorter that you're there, or choosing just to go once in a day. And hearing when I hear constantly, I can't do that. I have to go this many times a day. Well, mm-hmm. you're making the choice,
right?
Because you're living by a story. You're living by a story that's you. You are the label of the girl that goes to the gym three times a day. Right. You have the power to get rid of that label. That's yeah. one thing. The other thing I would say is just that no one is looking at your body.
That's nobody cares about anybody else.
No one cares about your body.
Yeah.
If you're in a room with 50 different women, you're all in a swimsuit, no one is caring about your body. No one is looking at you. No one gives a crap what you ate that day. All they care about is their body and yeah. how their body looks in that swimsuit. So if we're spending all of our time obsessing about what other people think about this or that, we're wasting literally, we're wasting our precious moments on this earth because yes. no one cares. If everyone in the world cared, maybe you wouldn't be wasting it so much because at least they're caring, but no one even cares. So it's like, it literally means to waste.
Right.
So, well, it's not that if even anyone cared, you should care, but still my point is saying just that give up that expectation on yourself and please get rid of those labels.
Yeah. And I do, like, I think some people are like, well, I know people care because like some people come from families where they're super disordered. Like it's a super weight disordered family and they do care and they do guilt them. And that is one of the hardest situations, I think, because they've been raised in the paradigm of believing that weight really is that important, and that because of that, they believe that everybody thinks that way, you know? And I sort of, like, I was sort of raised in a family that was like a little too fixated on weight and health, in a way that they've been able to back off and understand from knowing my deal. But I think that's one of the hardest situations to be in when you're trying to do this, is believing that the whole world cares so much about weight, which, I mean, arguably they do. We wouldn't have to do this work that we're doing if they didn't. But I guess just like believing, like what you said, that everybody is looking at your weight and really caring when nobody does. And the only people that do, I think, are people who are disordered themselves, and then feeding that by caring what they think is just like, it's wasting. It's wasting precious life energy.
Yeah. What I was going to say when you were saying like families that do care, to me, I just assume that is a projection. People really, I think it all comes from the insecurities one carries within themselves. So if a mom is constantly talking to a daughter about how she needs to lose weight, it's probably because this mom is projecting her own thoughts about her body, or totally. The thoughts her mom put totally. In her head. So you have the power to stop that and not carry that down to your children.
Exactly.
Because whoever you are listening to this episode, you're learning this right now. So you have the power to say, okay, it ends here. This isn't right. I'm not going to be projecting this belief onto my kids or to my friends.
Exactly.
Because I don't care what other people look like.
Exactly.
You know, maybe they did, maybe they didn't.
Don't you find, like, I mean, I found, even the people, like there are people in my life, like I'm friends with so many actors, and performers. And so that comes with its own, you know, beliefs about weight and how important it is and how much people are paying attention to it. And so I do know a lot of people that pay attention to their own weight, at least, and talk about it a lot. And if I, my own confidence and my genuine, like, I don't care about that. Like, I just don't care. I like myself as I am. I, you know, like, just carrying that with me and really living from there, it just kind of like dissolves that power when I'm out with those people or when I'm talking to those people or when they happen to bring up weight. Like, my neutrality about my own weight and other people's, it really makes a big difference in my relationship with them. And like, it's that paradox of like, once you step into the role of the way you want to be treated, it really does happen.
Do you think that you have helped change their perspective on weight too?
Let me think about somebody specific. Yes, some people, yeah. And some people, no. The people that I'm really close to, yes. But that's also partially because I've over the past 5 years become closer to the people who are more aligned with, mm-hmm. you know, the way I see the world. And the people who don't understand what I'm talking about, I tend to just have less and less in common with.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Like, and that's been a gift kind of, cause I have really awesome friendships now. I always have, but like, I would say that my friendships are even stronger now. And the fact that we are able to talk about this and have this understanding about this side of womanhood that can be so toxic is really awesome.
Yeah.
Really healthy.
Yeah.
And I want that for everyone. And people are really, I think a lot of people are scared about that part because all of their friends are dieters and they don't know, you know, what's going to happen with that. They don't know if they have to lose all their friends or if they just have to like suck it up. And I think the answer is a little bit of both. Like, I think it'll kind of naturally shift over time and you'll slowly find new people who do think like you. And also you might change some of their minds slowly, but surely.
Yeah. I think that's a beautiful symbol of your self-respect growing when you start to let go of those people that are no longer serving you.
Yeah.
I've had some clients, one client in particular that was coming to the realization that this one person wasn't serving her anymore. And she had to kind of break off that relationship. And then after doing that, she realized how good that felt not to be brought down, that we had this hour long conversation just about the importance of letting go of what is no longer serving you. And, yeah. And particularly people, because there are so many friends, I'm not talking about family members, necessarily, that is a conversation then.
Yes, it really is.
But for just friends in general, I think it is so important that you can realize there are people out there that you are meant to be a light for, but they're not your tribe. And those could be some people in your life currently. Maybe there's someone bringing you down, commenting on your body, or trying to grab you and include you in diet camaraderie. And you realize this does not serve you or your friendship or anything. And for those people, you can be a positive light for, but they're probably not the people that you want to spend most of your time with. And if that's the truth, it sucks and it hurts, but there is hope. Because there are more people like you out there, more people that are chasing for a positive, you know, attitude towards bodies and foods, and it's growing and it's getting bigger, and that's your tribe.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I think the people, again, it comes down to trust that like they're that we're taken care of, and like they're like an abundance mindset. It's like when people believe. So many people believe, oh, there isn't enough. Like, there isn't enough food. There aren't enough people who I can be friends with. There isn't enough money to go around. And it affects everything. Mm-hmm. It really, really does. So, yeah, just trusting that there are people out there who you may already know or new people who are going to, like, help you live the life you want to live.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Ooh, I'm hearing, like, a funny little, like, it went away.
On my side?
I don't know. I can't tell, but it's gone now.
Okay, let me know if it comes back.
Okay, cool. What is my next question? I need to, like, number these so I can tell how far I've gotten. All right, so, okay. You may be repeating something here, but what is the biggest reason you want people to know that they shouldn't diet, specifically physically?
The biggest reason... Oh my gosh, this is tough because there's a million reasons in my head right now. I think the biggest reason people shouldn't spend their time dieting, besides the fact that no one cares, we are all so, so, so fortunate to be on this earth right now. Let's just take a moment to acknowledge that. Like, it's so awesome that we were made, we were created, and we were given one life to live, mm-hmm. right? And if we spend all of our time obsessing over being smaller, smaller physically, smaller mentally, taking up less space in this world with our actions, with our voice, well, the world's going to miss out on something really special and unique. There's this quote by Jen Sincero from You Are a Badass.
Awesome.
Yeah, I wish I had the quote written out exactly. I do somewhere in my email. But basically what she says is that a river is not concerned with how many curves she has. Mountains aren't obsessed with, you know, how tall they are or worried. Am I too tall? Am I too close to this mountain? Or the river saying, I'm too curvy, right? Instead, mm-hmm. they're like, I'm just going to be. I'm just going to flow. And yeah. I'm just going to do what life told me to do or put me here to do. And mountains are big and beautiful and glorious, and they don't have to do anything. They just are. Mm-hmm. So the beauty for this message I want people to think about is that you don't have to do anything. You don't have to do anything to prove yourself on this planet. Think about whether or not you're spending all your time trying to change your body to prove yourself to yourself. Because if that is a battle that you're fighting right now, you will never win. Because as soon as you get to that point where you're like, I have the standard for myself. If I get this small, or if I put on this much muscle mass or eat this clean, then I will be enough. I guarantee you when you reach that, you won't tell yourself you're enough. You'll have a new standard for yourself. You'll have new goals and a new standard. And if you don't meet that standard, then you won't be enough. And so just like the river loves her curves and she just is, challenge yourself to just be. Don't spend all your time thinking about food, because that will never give you anything back in this world. You will end up being 90 years old thinking about food.
I know. Like, I know.
Why would that, you know, I remember whenever I finally came to the decision that I wasn't going to live this life anymore, I had this flash forward into my grave. I know. But I was like thinking about everyone gathered around my tombstone. Like, what would they say? Because what was I doing in that world, in this world? And people were all saying, man, Madeline was so good at clean eating. And I remember this one time she wrote me like this awesome meal plan and this workout. Like, I'm so, yeah, she's just on top of clean eating and working out. And that is not how I want people to remember me.
Okay.
And up till that point, that's all I was giving them to work with.
Right.
I was so obsessed and consumed. Every person I had met in this 7-year time span, maybe like 5 years, that's probably all they would be able to say about me. And I'm sure there's more to me. I was funny and, you know, they're good times.
Right.
But in my world, that's all I could see really standing out.
That's so powerful. And really, I mean, like, I mean, if everyone could do that, it reminds me of the question that I like to ask people, which is, what would you do if you just had 1 year to live? If your time was limited, who would you allow yourself finally to be? What would you finally let go of? What would you never do again? That makes, like, brings me to my knees, and I'm like, whoa, why am I wasting my energy on all these things that make me feel dead and horrible? So that's another really cool thing that you just like naturally did, that just you're like, your mind took you there. What you said reminds me of a bigger, like the bigger journey here, which is getting out of the rat race. Like, even with work, even with every little part of our lives, we think we have to like go, go, go and succeed, succeed, succeed and like become awesome and reach all this glory and whatever that means for people. We don't let ourselves rest. We don't let ourselves be and just stand there and be awesome like a mountain, you know, or flow smoothly like a river. Mm-hmm. I know rivers probably have times when they're not smooth and maybe this is all a big metaphor, but you know, allowing that space is something that I personally have been working on. Cause like once I conquered my eating, right? Once I was like, whoa, I eat normally now and I don't care about my body in, you know, in a good way. And I, then it was like, okay, so like what next? And there's been so much more to learn. Like it's just my, my learning about life and trust has only continued. Right. And that's a big one of you. So you talking about, can you just be, can you just allow yourself to be and not push so hard is, I think a really good lesson for people.
Yeah. That's one of my biggest struggles. Even today, honestly, I'm always trying to do more, do more, do more. And I feel so uncomfortable whenever I'm not doing.
Yeah.
And I begin to realize like, why am I so uncomfortable? And it's because I try to prove myself to myself. And it's like, I don't need to prove myself to myself. I can have a lazy day. I can have a lazy month. You know, it's okay if I just relax and chill and just be, because I don't have to keep going, going, going. And inspiration cannot come on demand. It comes whenever it comes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's huge. Have you ever read The Artist's Way? Did we talk about this?
Oh, no, we didn't talk about this, but my ex-boyfriend from high school, his mom gave me that book, and it's, I have been wanting to read it.
It's so good. Seriously, you would love it.
I need to read that.
It's really, and she, in the beginning, she says, because it's all about creativity as spiritual currency. It's all about like God being the creator and him creating us as creators and that we are meant to also create. And in the beginning, she does say like, use whatever word is comfortable for you. You can substitute these words, but then she throughout the book uses the word God, which actually I was like, and me recommending it to people who don't resonate with that word. I'm like, well, just, you know, it's really good. Like, it's really good. Please just read it. Give it a chance. You would love it. It changed my life. It's like, it's one of my favorite books. It's
okay. So I'm going to read good. It. That's a sign. I have to read it.
It's
now.
So good. Yes. It's a sign. Okay. Let me get back here. Let me see. Okay. What are things that you are still perfectionistic about? And maybe what do you do about that? Like what's your advice to yourself and to others? Where are the stakes still really high? This is sort of what we were just talking about.
Yeah, I would have to say kind of what we're talking about, mostly with work. Mm-hmm. I think I'm a perfectionist when it comes to how busy my day is, if it's not busy enough, because I'm just, you know, I'm always wanting to be busy. Mm-hmm. So if my calendar isn't full enough or I don't feel like I got enough done, I kind of beat myself up. But it's so short-lived. I just snap back and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's ridiculous. Like the whole reason why I am my own boss is so that I can have days where I'm not crazy busy.
Exactly. Hello. I know. I experienced that totally. Completely. And I don't even consider myself a perfectionist anymore.
Yeah, me neither.
But I still have this sense, this subconscious like frenzy of like, you should be doing something right now. Like,
yeah, and it's hard to get rid of that. Like, if I go to a coffee shop and I'm like, okay, if I go to a coffee shop, I will work, because normally I do. Creativity just like comes out when I go somewhere outside of my own apartment. And you know, if it doesn't happen, then I'm just like on Facebook for a few hours instead of going home and reading a book, which is what I love to do. Yeah. I read so many books. I go through a book like every 4 days. So I just try to like fake it till I make it. And then I'll realize a whole day goes by and I couldn't figure out anything because my creativity's low, wherever the moon cycle is or my, you know, my hormones, all those things come into play. So a lot of times I have to remind myself, maybe it's a time of the month where I'm not feeling creative. And for me recently, this is a new thing. I haven't done this much because I write so much for different places and emails. I used to love writing all the time, just my thoughts. I kind of stopped doing it, but I've picked it up recently because I'm trying to see more patterns of where the moon is, where my menstrual cycle is, my attitude, what's going on. Mm-hmm. I've started to realize a few things patterns. So that's kind of been my go-to whenever I'm in moments of like, I need to be working, I need to work harder, I need to get stuff done. When I realize there's nothing to get done, I just try to journal about it, or I try to do something fun, something I enjoy, like going to a yoga class or watching TV shows, because I love Hulu and Netflix and I love watching shows. So sometimes I gotta go for that instead. Yeah. And it's okay. I'm still a human. I'm still serving the world. I just don't have to serve it every minute of every single day.
And a really awesome thing that the Artist's Way talks about is like, you need to fill your well. You cannot be producing all the time. It just doesn't work like that. Fun and pleasure and all the things you just talked about are things that will fill the well, and that's in quotes, obviously, of creativity. It feeds you so you can then create and feed the world, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's super good. You're going to love it.
Yay!
Okay. Okay, what do you suggest to people who have full-fledged eating disorders? I have a lot of followers who are in, you know, rehab for anorexia, and you know, that's not what I feel comfortable complete. Like I say, of course, like you need to take everything I say with a grain of salt. This is a supplement. You know, I hope that this inspires you. Do you have any specific advice for those people, or do you tend to say that's not your expertise?
Both, I guess, because mm-hmm. that is not my expertise. So I don't give out much advice for people that have full-fledged eating disorders. Normally, I work with people that are coming out of that. So right. They still have that experience. Almost all my clients have that experience.
Right.
They're just not in the depths of it. So normally, what I would just recommend is the safest thing, which would be go to a center.
Exactly.
Talk to someone, talk to a professional in that center, or actually get checked into a rehab center. But make sure you do your homework, make sure it's a good one and they treat you right. Mm-hmm. You know, make sure, cause I know some people that have told me stories of like, this one didn't work out that well. Because like there are certain, centers that work mostly with like juvenile delinquents. Mm. So they treat the patients kind of like that. You want to go to a place that specializes in eating disorders. So they get you.
Right.
So find a good place maybe nearby or go seek out help. But I would say that have a good combination of positivity entering your life, but don't become so obsessed, because if you become obsessed with following different recovery accounts and listening to every podcast you possibly can and reading every single recovery blog post, it may become just so overwhelming that you can't find your own recovery. If you listen into other people's voices all day long, your voice may be harder to identify. So
that's such good advice, Maddie. Yeah. Such good advice. It is about living.
It's about living, and it's not about learning and soaking up as much knowledge from other people. It's about living and like being in touch with your own body, your own intuition. No blog post is going to tell you what your body needs. You could surely gather some positivity, but a little bit of positivity per day will go a long way. You don't need a lot. You don't need a ton. You don't need to overload. Sometimes all you need is more just pleasure with yourself, like spending time with yourself, doing fun things, fictional books. Like if you check into a place or you're getting professional help, that is awesome. And that's going to do you a lot of good. On top of that, try to go to things that take you away from thinking about food. If you're constantly reading recovery accounts or things like that, it's going to keep you in that mental space of thinking about food all the time.
Yeah. That's really, really good advice. Because and the work that we do, obviously, is for the people who have already stabilized but now want more normalcy. That's what I say. You know,
yeah. Or we catch further. Them. We catch them before they go.
Right. Exactly. On both sides of an eating disorder. Yeah. That's where our work lies. Yeah. Okay. So I have a lightning round. So just Yay. Like quick questions, quick answers. But also some of these questions are like kind of deep. So this is like a really hard lightning round.
Okay.
But whatever. The stakes are low. Okay, I already brought this up, but what would you never do again if you had a year to live?
I would never do a fitness competition again.
Mm-hmm.
Ever.
Good, but you don't do fitness competitions now.
Oh, so it has to be something that I do now?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, this is tough.
I know.
If I had a year to live, something that I do right now, I would stop pressuring, like we were just talking about, I would stop pressuring myself to be creative when I'm not feeling creative, and I would just go do the next natural thing to me.
That's an awesome answer. Check. A plus. Yeah. Do you like grocery shopping?
I love grocery shopping. It's like my favorite thing.
Do you have a car?
Yeah.
Okay, that's why. I live in a city and it's so hard.
You live in New York, right?
I do.
Yeah. I can't imagine.
I would probably like grocery shopping if I had a car.
I freaking love it.
Yeah. All right. I guess I have some changes to make in this last year of
mine. Come to Colorado.
I know. Seriously. Oh my God. Okay. Here's another hard one, but you're allowed to just make it like haphazard. If you could have five other lives in addition to your own, meaning like you still get to keep your life, but you also get to live five other ones and you get to choose like what you do in those lives, what would they be?
Can I be specific? Like, yeah. Okay, well, first of all, I would live in London in a flat above a cafe, and I would do nothing but write fiction novels.
Oh my God. Amazing. One.
I know that one because that's what I've wanted to do since I was a kid. Like, I always
dreamed. Do you write fiction?
Yes.
Okay. I do. Amazing. Do you, like, let yourself actually write it?
No. See, that is one of my things that I'm like, gosh, because since I was about... Before I could even write, I had my mom write the books for me. I would tell her what to write and we would staple them. And like, when Lord of the Rings came out, I wrote the fourth book.
Maddie. Just
know what happens to Frodo when he gets on
the way is going to change your life.
I have this one book. I wrote a short story. So I made it into a short story, but like, I want to make it into a novel because I feel like it's the most amazing, shameless thing here, but most amazing story, and I want it to become the life so bad, but it's so hard for me to allow myself to put that like fiction hat on.
I know. Oh, we're gonna have to have a follow-up conversation about this.
Yeah,
this is super exciting. Okay, what are your four other lives?
Okay, so that would be number one. My second one would probably be I would probably live in New Zealand and be nothing but a adventure guide.
Cool.
And just do a whole bunch of that. My next one would probably be something to do with, marine biology. Ooh. And I would probably want to live in like, I don't know what the best areas are, but if I could pick any area, I would live in Hawaii and study all the undersea creatures. My next one, I would love to be a... let's see. I think I would like to be a... Man, this is hard now.
I know.
Three of the lives is hard. You've had
really good ones. You only need to do two more.
Two more. Okay. I probably want to be like an ice cream creator, like creating new ice cream flavors and live like in a cabin in Wisconsin or something, like Bon Iver.
Oh, your lives are so cool.
I know. I have to like write these down. If I ever like get bored with mine, I'm
seriously?
Like,
seriously, okay. Or just add little elements in. That's the whole point of the question anyway.
Exactly. Okay. So the last one would probably be to, I'm going to go ahead and throw it in there. I think it'd be fun to be a professional dancer and to be like on, more specific. I would love to be on Dancing with the Stars as either a star or one of the professional dancers. So in my other life, I would do that.
So cool. You have such good answers. Yeah. The whole point of that question is like, can you add little elements of that into the life you already have?
That's a great question. I love that. I might have to steal that.
Guess what I took it from?
What?
Guess where that question's from?
Where is that question from?
The Artist's Way.
Yeah. Gosh. Okay.
I'm telling you. I want to give you a chance to tell people what you're up to and how they can find you and how they can work with you. And let us know right
now. Yeah. So my website is maddymoon.com, and that's M-A-D-D-Y, Maddie Moon, like the moon in the sky, .com.
And you can find me over there. I've got a free guide on there called 10 Proven Steps for Ending Any Diet Obsession. And that is free for you to have. Other than that, you can find me on Instagram, Madeline Moon. M-A-D-E-L-Y-N, Madeline Moon. And then I'm everywhere else. I just have all these random handles. So the best place to find me is on my website.
It's so funny. I'm everywhere else.
Just like, okay, so like my Facebook, it's like
totally. Madeline Moon.
And then my body is Twitter. It's like so frustrating.
I feel you. Awesome. Anything specific that you want to let people know that you're working on right now? Or you want them to just check up on
yeah.
you?
I mean, it's good for everyone to know if anyone is interested in the course Scripture, Food, and Healing that is coming out. I'm opening the doors to that April 4th, so next month, and I'm so excited for that. I'm sure you'll have a link to that on there and you can check that out. And if you're on my email list, then I will let you know as soon as the doors do open for that. And if you have any questions at all about the course or about the program, you can feel free to email me on the contact page on my website.
Awesome. Maddie, thank you so, so, so much. This has been such a pleasure, and you have so much wisdom to share with people.
Thank you. I so appreciate coming on your show. You're a great interviewer already, so thank you for having me on.
Oh, even while I was searching for the questions that I wrote in my little notes app, and they're too small for me to even see what I wrote. Thank you. You're generous.
Of course.
Please subscribe on iTunes and rate and review. It's so helpful to get this podcast out there. I appreciate everyone who has reviewed and everyone who's tried to review and it not worked, because that's what I hear is happening too. Please, if you like this podcast and want it to be able to be produced more frequently, please support on Patreon at Patreon, patreon.com/Caroline Dooner. It does cost money to produce and to host, which I didn't realize it was even going to do. I thought I could host it on my site. I can't. The files are too big. So your support really, really does help. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Please send in your questions and send in your success stories, and I'll interview you. That's something I also want to do. And I will see you next time with question mark. I don't know what the next episode is going to be yet, but it's going to exist. And I will, I'll talk to you then. Bye.
Okay.
Everybody's winging it. Is lying or dumb. Here I am, a 28-year-old woman. I know I'm young, but I never really thought I'd be this old. But as long as I'm not and cry. Should have worked on that more, guys, but I just wrote it last night, so, you know, maybe I'll improve it, put it on a different one with new lyrics, and like maybe I'll play the guitar, or maybe I'll like do something fancy. Okay, I'm gonna stop apologizing. Okay, bye.